introduce our first speaker. Dr. Carpenter is an assistant professor in the Division of Pharmaceutical Outcomes and Policy. Her research focuses on interpersonal influences on disease self-management for adolescents and adults living with chronic illnesses such as asthma and arthritis. She's particularly interested in using mobile health, mHealth, technologies to improve patients' chronic disease self-management and quality of life. Her educational background includes both clinical and public health training. All right.
Good afternoon, everybody. Again, thanks for sticking out to the last presentation of the day. This is my first time presenting this data, so I'm excited and geeked out as well to be here. I have no relationships to disclose. So there's two learning objectives for this presentation. Demonstrate how school nurses used a software program to generate tailored inhaler technique videos for their students with asthma, and present results from our pilot study that examined whether tailored inhaler technique videos improved inhaler technique immediately and at one month follow-up. So why inhaler technique? I became interested in this not just because I'm a respiratory therapist, but I worked on a large observational study in North Carolina where we looked at the inhaler technique of over 300 children. And we found, if you look on the left, that 8.1% performed all of their inhaler technique steps correctly for using a metered dose inhaler. And if you look on the right, where I've circled 20.3%, it's a little bit higher for children who use a spacer, but we're still looking at only 1 in 5 kids that have 100% correct technique. And the steps that I've highlighted are the steps that they were least likely to perform correctly, so shaking their inhaler 4 to 6 times or exhaling normally, holding their breath for 10 seconds. So each child's technique, they may miss specific steps, and these vary across kids. So why tailored messages? Well, there's a large body of literature that shows that tailored messages are more likely to lead to behavior change than generic messages. And the study that I have up here shows that tailored messages are actually processed in a different area of the brain than generic messages. And so they looked at people who were reading smoking cessation messages that were tailored or generic. And they saw that the people that were reading the tailored messages processed it in more self-relevant areas of their brain, which is why they believe that tailored messages are more likely to be remembered and lead to behavior change. And what they found with these tailored messages is that people are more likely to quit smoking when they read tailored messages. So for even addictive behaviors, tailored messaging seems important. And why videos? Well, you probably know if you work around kids, children use technology and prefer technology-based education. We've looked to see that children actually prefer technology-based education over one-to-one interactions with their providers, which is unlike working with adults. Also, if you look at the Pew data on the right there, teens have access to a lot of these different devices. So desktop computers are at 87%, gaming consoles at 81%, and smartphones are at 73%. And this is from their 2015 data. And when we did a small study in middle schools, even back before cell phones were ubiquitous, we found that kids liked video games and websites above other types of intervention modes for asthma education. So now I'm going to talk to you a little bit how I developed our tailored technique program. We worked with a collaborator in Research Triangle Park in North Carolina, Polyglot Systems. They develop educational materials in 28 different languages for people with low health literacy, so they helped us record these videos. We worked with pediatric pulmonologists, and we worked with children with asthma, and they helped us develop the scripts that the children read when they were recording the videos. And we had a recruitment process where we hired child actors to record the videos. We developed and refined the scripts, and we edited those scripts after listening to them to make them a little easier to listen to. So now I'm going to show you screenshots from the software program. And if this is of interest to you, it lives on my computer, and I can show you how it works after the presentation. But what happens is we have three devices, a metered dose inhaler with a spacer and a discus. And the default is to have all the steps checked off that they did it correctly. So if you assess a child's technique, you uncheck the steps that they did not perform correctly. Then you select the child's role model. So not only can we tailor on the steps that they performed incorrectly, but we tailor on the gender, race, and ethnicity of the child. First, it starts off with an introductory segment where the person says, so you want to know if you're using your inhaler correctly? Well, that's great, because a lot of people think they use their inhaler correctly and are surprised to find out that they miss a few steps or perform a few steps incorrectly. Let's see how you did. And then it walks step by step through each of the inhaler technique steps. And so for the ones that they perform correctly, they hear praise for doing that. And for the steps that they perform incorrectly, they get the audio script saying, looks like you forgot this step, and then information about why it's important to do that step. So let's take a look at an example. So as we saw earlier, a lot of kids forget to shake their inhaler. So first, they hear step two is to shake your inhaler 4 to 6 times. If they perform that correctly, they hear, awesome, you remember to shake it like a salt shaker. Then, if they did not perform that correctly, they hear, oh no, you forgot to shake your inhaler. Your inhaler has extra ingredients that help the medicine reach the super small airways in your lungs. When you shake your inhaler, it mixes up these ingredients with the medicine. So if you forget to shake your inhaler before you use it, you might be inhaling the extra ingredients instead of the medicine. So you want to tell them again why it's important to do these steps correctly. Then it closes with a closing segment telling them not to worry if they missed a few steps. It talks to them about the importance of priming inhaler, of waiting at least 30 seconds in between puffs. And then it also tells them to talk to their provider if they have any questions about using their inhaler. So we pilot tested this, and I worked with an awesome group of nurses in Buncombe County, North Carolina. This is where Asheville is located. It's in the western part of the state. We had 7 nurses volunteer to use this with their students. They recruited 25 students for a pre-post assessment. And then after all the data were collected, the nurses participated in a focus group to tell us whether it was feasible or not. Now, the nurses that volunteered, 100% were female, 71% were white. They've been practicing for 24 years on average and had been at their particular school for about 5 years on average, and 43% had prior asthma training. Now, what we asked nurses to do was to look through the school health record and identify children who had asthma. They sent a consent form home for parents to sign. When they received the signed consent form, they brought the child in for a 5-minute visit, and they recorded the child's demographic information. They assessed the children's inhaler technique using that checklist, and then they entered that information into the software program to generate the child's tailored video. Then they assessed children's technique again immediately after watching the video, and then they brought them in for a second visit 1 month later because we wanted to see if those improvements in technique would be maintained. So, for the demographic characteristics of the children, they ranged in age from 8 to 18, 11 and a half years on average. 48% were female, 72% were non-Hispanic white, 12% were Hispanic Latino, and the remaining 4 were either African American or Native American. And 44% were in elementary school, 44% were in middle school, and 12% were in high school. And the children have been living with asthma for about 6 years on average. Now let's look and see if we had differences in technique after watching the video. So looking at attaching the inhaler mouthpiece into the holding chamber for the children that used a spacer, and only 9 children reported using their spacer. And this is what we see. Even we know that spacer is best practice, still most kids report not using it. And so those kids showed an improvement and attaching the inhaler securely into the mouthpiece. They showed improvements in shaking their inhaler. They showed improvements in exhaling normally before taking in a deep breath and holding their breath for 10 seconds. Now, if you look at the 1 month follow-up, you can see that 100% of kids were getting all of these steps correctly. And then if we look at the kids that use the MDI without a spacer, we see that their technique was worse at the beginning, which is what we saw in the larger study. We had great improvement in shaking the inhaler, exhaling normally, and holding their breath for 10 seconds. Now, I did a Wilcoxon signed ranks test to see if these were statistically significant, and I wasn't expecting anything since we only had 25 people, but there were significant improvements in this. So they improved from 6.4 steps to 7.6 steps with a spacer, and they improved from 4.5 steps to 7.2 steps without a spacer, again, statistically significant. And what surprised me is that these improvements in technique were maintained at 1 month follow-up. So when we talked to the nurses in the focus group to find out if they liked it, they really thought that this program addressed a need, because I'm finding that a lot of students have told me that they were never shown how to use their inhaler at all in the doctor's offices, so they liked that. They thought strengths of the video program were that it wasn't in a doctor's office. So one nurse said, they're not in a doctor's office, so it wasn't as intimidating. It's not the adult being right in their face. They're just watching. I mean, that's totally what they're used to with their phones and everything else. And so it was their medium. And I like this. It went so fast that they didn't have time to be bored. This only takes 1 to 2 minutes to implement. We asked them whether the students seemed to like it or if they thought it was lame. And they said, they all said, thank you. This is high school students. They all said, thank you so much. You know, I feel better about using my inhaler, which they all expressed that insecurity on how to use it the minute they walked in the door. They thought I was going to fail them. Here's middle school. I thought my middle schoolers would be a little bit too old for this, because sometimes middle schoolers think they're just above it all, but they were excited and they're focused and they had fun picking out the character. And this is for elementary school. I think with mine, watching the video and then bringing them back the second time, they're actually telling me the steps, which was really interesting. I was like, oh my gosh, you remembered. And so to me, they were really paying attention and they were actually memorizing what they were supposed to be doing. And one of the things they said was that the praise was really important component of that too. So having the positive aspect of the videos was the kids reacted well to that. We're currently recording videos. We're going to have this available in English and Spanish. We're going to be able to tailor on age, because we saw some kids preferred characters that were closer to their own age rather than their demographic characteristics. We want to do an effectiveness trial in multiple school districts given these positive results. And we've also, what I have here is a screenshot of the parent version, which walks through your child miss X steps, and this is how you do it correctly. And we already have this available in English and Spanish. So for conclusions and limitations, school nurses were able to use the tailored videos to improve students' inhalers technique. They really liked it. They liked how fast it was. They said the kids enjoyed it. The improvements in technique were maintained at 1 month follow-up. They were enthusiastic about the videos. And students liked the videos too, which was nice to hear. We did have obvious limitations. This was just a small pilot study that was unfunded. So we had volunteer nurses, so we may have gotten the creme de la creme nurses bringing the students in, which could influence the results. Also, we had a small child sample, which could limit generalizability. We're not a very diverse community out in Asheville, so it would be nice to actually use the videos in a more diverse sample. Also, the permission forms really limited child participation, and they brought this out in the focus group, that it was hard. You know, we have these official UNC consent forms that are 4 pages long, and they're like, you know, that's a real turnoff to parents, so they want to use it without it. And we could have had a biased assessment of technique. Now, when I asked our nurses about this, if they were, oh, you know, did you give us the benefit of the doubt when you were checking off the technique later? They're like, no, we were honest. So, but they may, because we couldn't blind them and they knew that people had watched the video, they could have given them a more favorable rating on their technique assessment. So I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors on the presentation, and my salary was partially funded through a K award through NIH. And this is my contact information. The bottom there is Twitter. And like I said, if you would like to see a demonstration of this, I have it on my computer, and I'd be happy to show it to you after the presentations. Okay.